The AutJet Business Show is your gateway to expert business advice and real-world success stories. Each week, a different leader in the business world will share their tips, insights, and lessons, offering you practical advice to navigate your entrepreneurial journey. Whether you have a business idea or are just starting out or looking to elevate your existing business, the AutJet Business Show provides mentoring, inspiration, and invaluable networking opportunities to help turn your vision into reality. Ensure you get these transformative conversations live on Thursdays at 6 p.m. or find the podcast at highfm.com. Let's build your business empire together.
The AutJet Business Show is brought to you with the compliments of F-Stage. Let them bring your corporate event to life and make it unforgettable.
Let AvStage make your vision a reality. As your trusted technical partner, we deliver top-tier lighting, cameras, sound, visuals, and all technical elements for high-level corporate events, conferences, gala awards, ceremonies, and year-end functions. Elevate your next event with our expert services. Contact AvStage at 011-887-1400 and let us bring your event to life and make it unforgettable.
Welcome, welcome. It's Thursday afternoon or evening again. It just seems to come around so quickly. I'm David Zeidel. This is the AutJet Business Show. And tonight we're with Dan Stillerman. And I'm going to introduce Dan in a few more minutes. I'm going to start the show as we always do, talking about a business story. And the story is about a tailor. And there was a tailor who opened up in town and people came to see him. And his question to them immediately when they were looking for a suit was, do you want a cheap suit or do you want the right suit? And with a lot of people, he had to turn business away. And that's hard to do when you start a business. But he was looking at his business and knowing where his focus is at. A lot of businesses can look at their strategy. And if I just divide it into two main strategies, it's something that you can call cost leadership or the differentiation strategy. Cost leadership is where your only and main focus is on the cost of the item. Your differentiation focus is you differentiate yourself on something else. And if we look at maybe Woolies, for instance, if I ask you something about Woolies, how are they different? And the answer will be quality. That comes up. They differentiating themselves on quality. And it's not just the product, it's their whole ethos, everything they do about it. If you walk into a Woolies store, even if it's in the middle of summer, you think, where did I leave my jersey? Because the entire store is cold, and that gives you the essence of quality. So if you're looking at your own business, ask yourself, what is your driving strategy? Do you want to compete only on cost, or do you want to compete on something else? Are you differentiating yourself in some other way? And if you don't want to compete only on cost, you must know exactly how you're differentiating yourself. So that's a quick little business lesson for today. And we're going to gain a whole lot of different business lessons from Dan Stillerman, he's the founder of XL Academy. But I'll introduce Dan and we'll come to him after the ad break.
The AutJet Business Show provides mentoring, inspiration, and invaluable networking opportunities to help turn your vision into reality. Let's build your business empire together.
Let AvStage make your vision a reality. As your trusted technical partner, we deliver top-tier lighting, cameras, sound, visuals, and all technical elements for high-level corporate events, conferences, gala awards, ceremonies, and year-end functions. Elevate your next event with our expert services. Contact AvStage at 011-887-1400 and let us bring your event to life and make it unforgettable.
Welcome back to the AutJet Business Show. I'm David Zeidel, and tonight we're with Dan Stillerman, and he's the founder of the XL Academy. Welcome, Dan.
Thanks, David. Great to be here. Thanks for having me on the show.
And Dan is a qualified actuary And he gave up, as he qualified, he then gave it up to be the founder and the driving force behind the XL Academy, and we'll ask and discuss what that is. But since founding the XL Academy in 2014, which is 11 years ago, he's helped thousands, maybe close to 30,000 delegates across Africa and South Africa to master the skill of using the Excel spreadsheet. But now he's moved with the times into AI. And I asked him earlier, are you going to change the name? Because it's the Excel Academy and it's Microsoft Excel. And he said, no, we still Excel. We're just going to be excelling at other things. He said that you mustn't just use ChatGPT, but you must partner with it. And he's going to explain to us, what do you mean by that? And the shift shows how he's moving with the times. And he helps people reach their best potential with the products that they're using. And when he's not transforming workplaces, he's running on the road. He's completed a few Comrades Marathons, two of them. I think they were actually back-to-back. And he's using his running also to raise funds. And I want to know, how do you manage to raise the funds through your running? Because I also ran for a long time, and no, it was fun, but I never got funding. So how does one go about that? So Dan, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much.
And it's interesting, you know, some people, and there's a term for it, where your name suggests what you do. So many, many years ago, the head of the water board, his name, and this is a true story, his surname was Mr. Bath. Your name is Stillerman, but you're nothing but a man that's still.
Yeah.
So what drives you?
Sure. So, Dave, thanks again for having me on the show. Good evening to all the listeners. My second time in the studio today, which is great. I was actually talking earlier on Nikki's DL Link show about the Cape Town Marathon on Sunday, the marathon that wasn't. What drives me? Sure, it's a deep question. I think I love being productive. I love helping people. And I love taking complexity and making it simple. Communicating in a simple way and seeing people's light bulb go off, and doing things that push me out of my comfort zone and challenge me. I think that's driven me from the start. You asked me the other day when we chatted on the phone just a bit about my background, which maybe I'll share a few things. So I studied to be an actuary because they told me it was a challenging degree and I did well in maths in school. So and they promised me a big paycheck. So that was challenging and pushed me definitely out of my comfort zone. And I landed myself an amazing opportunity to work in a startup straight out of university called Paramount Life. It was an insurance company and it was built largely on Excel. So I was immersed, I was thrown into this world of Excel and a startup culture. And that really shaped me and molded my thinking and my work. And my experience with Excel initially was I thought I was good at it. And I got a big fright on day one and week one when I realized I was way out of my depth. You don't know what you don't know. I thought I was maybe intermediate 6 or 7 out of 10. I realized I was about a 1 out of 10. So I was thrown into this world and way out of my comfort zone. Fortunately for 4 years, all day, every day, I was immersed in this world of Excel and I started to really appreciate it and master it and dig beneath the surface and started to appreciate the power and importance of it as a not just an actuarial or finance tool, but a business tool in general. And I loved the startup nature of it, that we were building something that was meaningful. And I was exposed to all different sides of the business, which I loved. I wasn't just placed in a corner. So I think that shaped me and, you know, I got to a point where I qualified as an actuary 4 years down the line. And you mentioned gave up on the actuary thing. I prefer to frame it as I just saw the next step on my journey as starting my own business, where I could be in control of building a brand and strategizing and, you know, creating something that really made a big difference to a lot of people. And I thought my story was quite powerful, that a lot of people would be able to resonate with, that Excel is this thing that's so important, and everyone sort of has it on their CV, and it's a crucial skill for employability and in the workplace. And there's just this massive gap that people just are not using it efficiently, and they just don't know what they don't know. So I set out to build some courses. And first product, I should have actually brought the book. It was this, I still carry it around with me almost 12 years down the line. It was a very generic looking training manual. And in your little snippet before we, just a few minutes ago, I loved that because the differentiator, I realized quickly that I wasn't only competing on cost. I realized that if I could give people a really fun, interactive, experiential, engaging learning experience, that would be a major differentiator. So I wouldn't be competing with other training providers purely on cost.
So let's take you back to that initial assessment. So when I said you gave up actuary, you gave up the actuarial world maybe to change and focus on something else. And that's always the problem with an entrepreneur. If you have this idea, but if you're not working, you can follow it. You're hardly giving up something. You trained for 4 years. It's that whole, I've invested in this. Mm. I mustn't stop doing that. How did you change that mindset? Mm. And then how did you go about ensuring that it would be successful? Because I get a sense that you believed it was going to be successful. Mm. Where's that mindset of, I know I'm going to make a success of this? And then if you can remember back, what were the steps that you took that others can kind of, if they got great ideas now, that they can follow on? What are the steps that you take to kind of get you closer to a successful business?
So, yeah, I mean, you mentioned 4 years. It was actually 8 years because it was 4 years of full-time study and then completing the exams in total until I qualified was 8 years. And that's a major factor psychologically. You think you've invested so much, you can't just leave it. And truth be told, in those first half of 2014, I was still doing some part-time actuarial consulting work. And I was getting paid nicely for that, while at the same time working on launching Excel Academy. And so much of it was psychological, because there was a shift when I started to really have full 100% belief that I could do this and that it was worth it and it was going to be a success. And that's when I shifted from that part-time consulting work and I went full steam ahead with Excel Academy. There was a lot of self-doubt creeping in, and that voice in my mind. People also laughed at me and were in disbelief. You've studied, you're overqualified to teach people Excel. Are you mad? But there was a shift. The shift actually happened in about end of May 2014. I'll tell you the story.
So I want to know what that shift is. Yeah. But we need to go for an ad break, and we'll listen to it when we get back.
The AutJet Business Show provides mentoring, inspiration, and invaluable networking opportunities to help turn your vision into reality. Let's build your business empire together.
Let AvStage make your vision a reality. As your trusted technical partner, we deliver top-tier lighting, cameras, sound, visuals, and all technical elements for high-level corporate events, conferences, gala awards, ceremonies, and year-end functions. Elevate your next event with our expert services. Contact AvStage at 011-887-1400 and let us bring your event to life and make it unforgettable.
Welcome back. I'm David Zeidel, and we're listening to Dan Stillerman telling us about his career. And he started telling us how he's going to start this new academy and how he was thinking of it. And I was trying to think of the term beforehand, because he said he'd invested 4 years studying actuarial science, then working for 4 years in it. And it's something that's called the sunk cost fallacy, where you think, I've put so much money into it, I can't give it up now. But you actually did. So what was your process? You were about to tell us that shift. What was the shift?
So I left my job end of 2013, and I thought, okay, I'll start this thing. So point number one that I'll mention is I opened my mind to a different way of thinking. My older brother has always been very much a mentor towards me, and he's always been entrepreneurial, and he had Rich Dad Poor Dad on his shelf, and I always thought, like, oh, I don't need that, I'm not interested. And he encouraged me to read it numerous times. Eventually I read it in that my last year of working in my actuarial job. So I opened up my mind to a different way of thinking. That was number one, realizing that I didn't know everything, even though I was a bit arrogant, almost qualified as an actuary. But I opened my mind and I thought, let me be humble and let me open my mind to maybe an entrepreneurial way of thinking. So that was number one. And that led me down a whole series of courses and learning to upskill myself on what kind of person do I need to be and what skill set do I need and mindsets to make a success as an entrepreneur. So that was number one. But then when push comes to shove and you're giving up this nice salary and all of a sudden you're struggling to, thank God I didn't have major dependents and major huge bills to pay, but there still was pressure to bring in an income. The big shift came end of May. I was about 5 or 6 months into the business. And I actually got two SMSs from my bank, one about my business account and one about my personal account, that I'd actually run out of funds. So yeah, my accounts were on zero. So I phoned up my mom, like any Jewish boy would do, and can I borrow 10,000 Rand and I'll pay you back in a couple of days. So anyway, so she gave me the money. And it was a day or two later that I was actually going to WITS, to the Honors Actuarial Science students, to offer them a free presentation, a free little crash course masterclass on Excel. And then I offered them a paid course at the end of that. The last 5 minutes, I did a little pitch. I said, guys, I want you to come. I'm giving you a student discount. And I got 65 of them to sign up at about 900 Rand per person. Told them they had to pay within 2 days in order to get the discount. So I wanted to pay my mom back. And I landed up making just over 50,000 Rand there for a one-day course that I delivered to these students. And for me, the penny dropped there because I realized there's a big win-win here. I'm giving them something that they really need and they really want. They're paying a fair price. And I'm smiling because I've made just over 50,000 Rand for a one-day course. And when I realized that and I compared that to my actuarial salary, I realized, hold on, it doesn't matter what people say. And if people are questioning and doubting and if I've got a voice in my mind, I'm going to back myself. I had to get over the sunk cost fallacy as well, because that is a definite real thing. But it's going to hold you back and it's going to trap you if you constantly let it. So I've reframed the whole thing about my actuarial studies and qualification, that it's opened so many doors. It's helped to evolve and shape my thinking and my abilities. And I'm not working in a typical traditional actuarial role, and that's fine. And I'm happy with that. I'm doing my own thing. And I've got that credibility that people see and trust that I'm an actuary.
So why would people, as you've just started, why would they come and do the Excel course with you rather than YouTube? Everyone thinks I can go learn it on YouTube rather than going to some great brand name. What did you do that was different that people thought, this is great, I'm going to do it? And I'm going to answer part of the question myself, in fact, of what I think. When you approach the actuaries, they saw you as an actuary. So they said, this guy knows what we want. Mm. But just in general, I presume you've moved beyond the actuaries. How did you differentiate yourself that you're worth what you're charging rather than somebody going and teaching themselves with YouTube?
Yes, I think we started off the business doing everything in person. So I think we you know, in those first few years, we brought a lot of energy into the room, an experience, an energy, a fun, you know, a sense of engagement and a fun, interactive experience into the room, which people loved. We also shifted quite quickly from a B2C, targeting individuals, that kind of approach, to targeting organizations.
So B2C, for those who don't know, you've got a B2C, which is business to customer, or B2B, business to another business. So you're saying you started selling it to businesses rather than to individuals.
Yeah, exactly. So we started saying to companies, we can come in and train your staff in a fun, interactive way, with colorful, fun material. So our workbooks are, they almost look like a children's storybook, as opposed to a boring, because the big problem with Excel training, like any technical training, is it's often an information overload and it's bland and boring and it's difficult to apply it to their work. So we try to address those challenges by making it interactive and fun and experiential and very hands-on and practical, and not coming in as this smart know-it-all teacher or lecturer lecturing downwards, like very much meeting people where they're at and lifting them up. And then as the business evolved, I realized I wanted to grow the business and reach more people and move things online. And with that, I asked myself the question of how do I keep people engaged and having fun and accountable that they would actually do the online course? Because one of the biggest problems with online courses out there on platforms like LinkedIn Learning and Udemy, they might have great content, but the challenge is to get people to do it. You give people at an organization lifetime, unlimited access to 1,000 courses. The biggest challenge that we've heard from learning and development teams at companies is that their staff just don't do it, or they start a course and then they drop off. And the challenge with YouTube is how do you know who to follow and what path to follow? You're just watching a bunch of random things in a randomized order. There's no curated path. So we addressed some of these and we said, okay, we'll teach you Excel online, but we'll still have the human element. We'll get you up and running. So we do a 15 to 20 minute onboarding session where it's live in person or online, and we get people to understand and appreciate what it's all about. We get them onboarded into the process. They get their physical material, so they've got that actual tangible material with them. And then we track and support them to make sure that they are moving along the course and progressing. So there's that sense of accountability and friendly competition on a WhatsApp group. So all in all, it's a curated experience with engagement and social friendly competition and accountability that the powers that be, the people signing off on the training, are knowing that their staff are actually doing it and engaging, and it avoids the information overload of 8 hours all in one go.
Right.
So they're doing it over a 3-week period. So, yeah.
So to get to a number of, and I think I'm correct in saying about 30,000 people, how do you do that? How did you access so many people? Are those mostly South Africans or is it worldwide?
Mostly South Africans. I think it's been a steady, consistent process organically over 12 years of just showing up and doing really good work and keeping our clients happy. So, thankfully, there's been a lot of organic growth and the snowball effect. A major shift happened when we shifted from linear growth, in other words, growing by doing more courses in person and hiring more trainers, because we had 6 people at a stage. We shifted in about 2017, 2018. I realized we needed to go online. We needed to shift to that type of model. So that's enabled us to grow and to scale exponentially as opposed to in a linear fashion. At the moment, we actually just have 2 of us in the business, myself and my partner, Avi. And we're a great team. We work really well together. And our systems and our online courses do most of the work. We get people into the process. We'll load them onto our platforms. Everyone gets a login. We'll get them to join a dedicated WhatsApp group for their team. And once a week, we'll track and support them and make sure that they hit the target and they reach the finish line. And then they have lifetime access in the future so they can always come back and revisit the courses.
And so is most of your work that you're doing now really selling the product rather than training the product?
So it's both. There's a lot of selling. We go to a lot of conferences and networking opportunities. And just over the last 2 days, we were at a conference in Stellenbosch where we presented for 45 minutes. We do a lot of live demos, workshops, presentations, masterclasses. We had our live monthly masterclass session this morning for 1 hour live on Zoom. Where we always believed in the concept of show people, give people a free demo, try before you buy. Just like walking through Chili Willy's when they give you the free sample of strawberries and you taste it and then you're much more inclined to actually buy it. So we do quite a lot of that, but we don't physically train the 8-hour courses anymore because it's in nobody's best interest. We don't really have the time and it's, people will learn better when it's over 3 weeks in their own time and at their own pace. Especially, and fortunately, when COVID came along, we were set up for that. So everybody was working from home And a lot of our clients said, oh, it's a perfect opportunity for them to do a course. Let them use the time productively and sit on their laptop at home and do a course.
It was almost like you could see it coming and you created that online. And there's a term for it, and I can't think of what the term is. It's almost like a blended thing where you managing them through it, but they managing themselves through it at the same time. So you're almost like Big Brother keeping an eye on it to see that how it's going.
Exactly. Shared responsibility.
Shared responsibility. Yeah. And now you've taken that and you've gone a step further. I mean, the world is exploding now with AI and ChatGPT, and we don't know. And every time there's something else and we don't know what it is. So you made a comment around, don't just use ChatGPT, but partner with it. So I want to know, so you were an Excel expert, and now are you saying you're a ChatGPT expert? Or how are you now approaching a brand new thing like this, where it's now becoming another arm within your business?
Sure. So it was about 4 months ago. For the last year or two, lots of people have been asking me, Dan, what about AI? How are you integrating it into your business? Or are you going to train people on it? Or what about Excel with AI? Is Excel still relevant? There were all these questions going around, and I wasn't sure, to be honest. I was feeling quite overwhelmed, like a lot of people, concerned, confused. And it was about 4 months ago, towards the end of June, that I was just browsing around on YouTube and searching for Excel and AI videos and just trying to explore and learn. And I stumbled upon a video by a Stanford professor. And the thumbnail said, you are using AI completely wrong. So I was intrigued. It was a 13-minute video, and I watched it, and I've watched it numerous times. And I tell a lot of people about it, because one of the key messages there is exactly what you said, Dave, that he said the only correct answer to how do you use AI is I don't use it, I work with it. And it's a subtle shift, but it's a reframing mentally, psychologically, of one's approach towards AI, and it changes everything. From that day, which was the 24th of June, until now, so 4 months, my productivity, creativity, and strategic thinking has exploded, because I've embraced this AI thing as a partner, as opposed to just seeing it like a tool, like Google, like asking it an occasional question and seeing if it's good at certain things. So in other words, a partner is, or a teammate is, a person, and with a person who's, let's say, a new colleague or a recruit or an intern, how do you get the most out of that person? How do you develop a good working relationship with them? You teach them, you train them, you coach them, you nurture them, you give them feedback, and you do that consistently. So you bounce ideas off them. And with that, you mentioned ChatGPT expert. I don't know. I don't really call myself a ChatGPT expert. What I've realized is I can help people now to shift their mindsets and to start embracing and enhancing their lives and their businesses and their jobs by partnering with AI.
So if you've just tuned in and you're wondering who's chatting to us, it's Dan Stillerman. He's the founder of Excel Academy. And the Excel was originally Excel spreadsheets. It's now 2 Excel in the world. And Dan, if you can kind of go through the process of the ChatGPT, of how do you use it as a partner? So let's say the same way as you said with Excel, that you would give somebody a freemium, a little bit of an illustration of what it is. If somebody's listening and thinking, how would I use it as a partner? Can you talk us through that? How would I use it if I now want to try and use it as a partner?
Okay, great question. So I'm gonna explain this through a practical example over the last hour. We chatted on Monday, Dave, for about half an hour in preparation for this show. And one of the questions that you asked me was, what are 5 tips that you would give to the listeners who are in their own business or maybe thinking about starting their own business? And I've thought about it for the last 3 days, but I actually didn't put pen to paper and I didn't come up with my 5 points. And then I remembered this about an hour ago and I thought, what am I going to do? Am I going to take a pen and paper and scribble down and come up with something? Or my ChatGPT knows me so well, maybe I should just bounce it off ChatGPT. So this is my prompt. I voice recorded. A lot of people don't know. Should we do it after the break?
So, no, we're not going to do it after the break. But I was going to ask you this towards the end. So these are the five things that I was going to ask towards the end. And Dan's going to share what those things are and how he did it. So that's great.
Okay. So I said, and I voice recorded this. So what I found just asking people is most people don't realize they can actually voice record on ChatGPT.
So just before, when you say that ChatGPT knows you, is it that you've created a separate account and you've uploaded information about yourself? Because I think maybe ChatGPT might know me, but it might not know me. How do I know if it knows me or not?
Yeah, so it knows me really, really well, especially over the last 4 months because of my constant talking to it. So if we pretend that it's a person, we know it's not a person, but we pretend that it's a person. Let's say you've got a new colleague who's actually a person. You're talking to it all day. You're showing it. You're coaching it. You're giving it context into your life and your work and your relationships and your challenges and your goals, etc. It's going to get to know you.
So does ChatGPT get to know you the same way?
Yeah. It's got short-term memory loss if you're on the free version, unfortunately. So it's got a limited bandwidth of memory if you're on the free version of ChatGPT, which a lot of people are on. If you do upgrade to the paid version, then it's got a much better memory.
Mm. So I know physical people who must be on the free version because they forget things
exactly.
Anyway.
Exactly.
Okay. So you're on the paid version and it remembers every discussion you've ever had.
Mm.
And do you have to categorize it, or you can, every time you talk, it just keeps that information?
Mm. And to actually test it, you could say to it, based on everything you know about me, tell me some interesting insights into my personality, and you'll be amazed. The more that you've shared with it, it sometimes knows you better than you know yourself, which is quite scary. But I love that because it sometimes points out blind spots and things that I haven't thought about. It gives me amazing insights. I'm just blown away by its insight and intelligence. It really is.
We're going to go through this. I really want to, we're going to look at all those. Take us through the case study of what you did and what it came up with, but after the break.
The AutJet Business Show provides mentoring, inspiration, and invaluable networking opportunities to help turn your vision into reality. Let's build your business empire together.
Let AvStage make your vision a reality. As your trusted technical partner, we deliver top-tier lighting, cameras, sound, visuals, and all technical elements for high-level corporate events, conferences, gala awards, ceremonies, and year-end functions. Elevate your next event with our expert services. Contact AvStage at 011-887-1400 and let us bring your event to life and make it unforgettable.
Welcome back. I'm David Zeidel. You're listening to the AutJet Business Show, and together we're listening to Dan Stillerman, who's the founder of the XL Academy. And Dan explained to us, first of all, that he studied as an actuarial scientist, became an actuary, studied for 4 years, then worked for another 4 years, and then gave it up. But it's the sunk cost fallacy in the fact that you think you spend 8 years doing something, you can't stop doing it, you have to go along with that. And you said, no, you saw a better vision for your life, and you started the Excel Academy focusing on Microsoft Excel. You've now shifted to using ChatGPT as a partner. And just before the break, you were saying how it knows you from all your discussions. It knows you better than maybe you know yourself, and it can analyze that. And you said that before when we spoke, I asked you about what are the five things about yourself that you would share, etc. And you actually put that into ChatGPT, and it came back with some amazing answers. So do you want to take us through the process and then what it actually said?
Yeah. So Dave, this was about an hour ago, just before I left my home to come here. I quickly picked up my phone. I started a new chat on ChatGPT, and I hit the record button, the voice record, the same way as you would on WhatsApp, just to record a voice note. And I'll read it out for you here and for the listeners. I'm about to be on the radio on the AutJet Business Show, interviewed by David Zeidel about my life and my business. One of the questions he's going to ask me is for my five tips for success for entrepreneurs or budding wannabe entrepreneurs. Can you help me think through my five top tips based on everything you know about me. Again, just imagining that it's a person and it knows me. And here's what it said. Here's how I'd shape your five tips for success, pulling from your story, your values, and the way you actually operate. Each one is practical, personal, and punchy, so it'll land well on radio. Because I've framed it, I've given it context that I'm going to be on radio. All right, so we can start off with the first one. And I thought, look, how good will these be? Let's see. Okay. They were amazing. They were better than I could have ever come up with on my own. Number one, start small, but start now. Don't wait for the perfect plan or funding. XL Academy began with you running XL sessions yourself, not a polished operation. Momentum matters more than perfection. Entrepreneurs overthink the winners ship. Well, the winners ship their product immediately. So I love that. That's perfect. That minimum viable product. As I said, started with that like black and white, generic looking training manual, but I started somewhere. Number two is build trust before business. And it's telling me that my biggest wins have come from relationships, whether it's HR executives, community leaders, or family. People buy into you before they buy your product. Show up, be real, and keep your word. That's your marketing edge. Third one is work smarter, not harder. And that's been our ethos, that when people ask what we do, we say we help people to work smarter on Excel and now with AI. So it says, you live this with Excel and AI. The point is not grinding more hours. It's using tools and systems that give you leverage. Entrepreneurs should obsess less over hustle and more over how to multiply their time and energy. Number four is say yes to friction, not comfort. Discomfort is where growth lives, whether it's running the comrades, standing on stage, or pitching a big client. If you're feeling awkward, underqualified, or stretched, you're probably on the right path. And I can just comment on that. I mean, I feel imposter syndrome all the time before getting on stage or training really top executives and really qualified people or standing on the start line at comrades. And then number five is create ripple effects. Think bigger than yourself. From fundraising for DL Link to mentoring, let's put here, Gidon, one of my cousins. It says, your impact spreads when you act intentionally. Entrepreneurs succeed when they measure success, not just in revenue, but in the ripples they set in motion.
Wow. So let's just go through that again. So you said your lessons, and you agree with everything that it says, and you actually, I can see you nodding and saying, this is more than I could have said about myself. So you're saying, first of all, start now when you've got an idea. Don't wait for perfection. You then said build trust, and that's through networking. People will buy you before they buy the product. You said something about being hard, like work harder. Work smarter, not harder. And maybe we can look at that a little bit. Say yes to friction, not comfort. And that's amazing, because we often go the route of kind of less resistance. If it feels right, I'll do it. If it feels too hard, I'm not. And success comes from doing the hard stuff and the things that you feel like, I don't really want to do that. And create ripple effects, which is create something bigger than yourself. And that actually leads to the next question, which was, you do running, and a lot of people do running. And for comrades, I think it's about 20,000 people run it. But not everybody, or very few, run it and make a difference by raising funds, etc. So take us through, where did the idea come from, and how do you go about doing something that helps with a charity?
So first thing I'll say is I think we are just so, so fortunate and privileged in the Jewish community to have these incredible organizations that we shouldn't and we can't take for granted. For example, the Malka Ella Fertility Fund helping people who are struggling to fall pregnant, and DL Link helping people going through cancer treatment and their families. So I just essentially jumped on the bandwagon with comrades last year. I realized that Malka Ella has been supporting a team of runners going to run comrades for the last, I think, 15 years. So I jumped on the bandwagon last year and this year. And with DL-Link, it's a similar thing. They've had a team for the 947 ride Joburg and the Jerusalem Marathon for a number of years. It's just such a cool thing to take a run or a ride, which is typically quite an individualistic sport or goal, and to elevate it by running not just for yourself. It's nice to run for yourself and get the PB and get the kudos on Strava, but you know, when you take it to another level and you're running part of a team and for an organization that's doing incredible work, it makes the whole thing just much more meaningful and more fun.
So how do you go about getting funding? Do you go to all your mates and say, I'm running, comrades, please, like the big walks you used to have at school, please give me R5 a kilometer, or how does that work?
So the process is basically, like, for example, with Malkael or DL-Link, you contact them and you register as one of their runners for that race, and they'll give you a link. So they give you a personalized link, and that's what you need to send out to people. So I've done a few different campaigns basically for comrades this year. I sent a little message out to WhatsApp groups that I'm part of, and I thought, I'll, as opposed to just knocking on doors saying, can you give me money, can you support me, because a lot of people have donor fatigue, they're donating and they get called every day about another charity campaign. So I said to myself, I'll put my money where my mouth is to a certain extent, and I'll tell people, if you donate, I'll top up your donation by 180 Rand. So that helped. But aside from that, when you're running for a cause that's meaningful and that people know and recognize, like DL-Link or Malkaela, it's not that hard. People do want to support a worthy cause. And with a big race like Comrades, it's big hype around, especially that week. Like, people are watching and they know me or they know the runners and they're following and they're tracking, and it's a national event. So you're not trying to sell something foreign to people. Just reaching out and having a bit of chutzpah. I'll give one or two stories if we have time.
So I want to get to those stories, but again, we'll do that after the break.
The AutJet Business Show provides mentoring, inspiration, and invaluable networking opportunities to help turn your vision into reality. Let's build your business empire together.
Let AvStage make your vision a reality. As your trusted technical partner, we deliver top-tier lighting, cameras, sound, visuals, and all technical elements for high-level corporate events, conferences, gala awards, ceremonies, and year-end functions. Elevate your next event with our expert services. Contact AvStage at 011-887-1400 and let us bring your event to life and make it unforgettable.
Welcome back. You're listening to the AutJet Business Show. I'm David Zeidel, and we're in discussion with Dan Stillerman. And Dan, just before the break, you were going to take us through the actual process of getting funding and raising charity while you're doing what you love and running, but making it for a bigger cause. So how do you go through the actual steps? You said you'll send messages out to your groups, and then they'll give you some funding. But does that work, or how can you do it better, and how much have you managed to raise over the last couple of years?
So I mentioned before the break that I would share one or two cool stories. So on the Wednesday before Comrades, 4 days before the race, I was at Melrose Arch at Mincha and a Shiur and a lunch, and I bumped into it's not quite a friend, but he's a guy I know, very successful, generous guy in the community. And he said, oh, are you running? I said, yeah. And he said, good luck. And later that day, I dropped him a WhatsApp. I said, great to see you. By the way, if you want to give a few bucks, here's my link. Not even blue ticks. It wasn't red for a week. I ran the race. The following Wednesday morning, I woke up early. I looked at my phone and I saw a reply from him saying 36K.
Wow.
Send me bank details. So that's just an example of, if I had been too shy to ask, I wouldn't have gotten it. And what I've learned is that a lot of the time people do want to get behind a good cause. People do have money to give, or time or resources to give, and they're just looking for opportunities, worthwhile causes. So I saw it actually in the Jewish Report. Howard Saxteen wrote a column a few months ago, and he quoted the late Mendel Kaplan and Gerald Deisner, and he said something about, I think he quoted Mendel Kaplan, who said, if you have a worthwhile cause, don't insult people by not asking them for money or by not asking them for enough money. So I looked at that and I thought, you know what, this is a worthwhile cause, not for my private fund. It's going to a really, really meaningful cause that people relate to and identify with and support. So giving them that opportunity. And I mean, it's staggering. Like I managed to raise 123,000 rand for Malka Ella in that, and I only started raising for Comrades a week before, intentionally, because people are often a bit short-sighted. So I like to give them an opportunity for something that they can actually see on the horizon in the next couple of days. And I did the same thing now with DL Link, and still raising money for Sunday, which is the 947 ride Joburg. And I got 100,000 rand donation from one generous donor just the other day. I checked it on Saturday night, the night before the Cape Town Marathon, the marathon that never was. And I rubbed my eyes. I couldn't actually believe it. I saw it on my list of donors, 100,000 Rand. It unfortunately didn't actually go through. There was a glitch with the payment gateway, but we're working on it. I spoke to him today and he's very happy. You know, he's a magnanimous guy and he's very chuffed. And I didn't even reach out to him. So he saw the cause. He saw that the DL Link were doing the Cape Town Marathon and the 947 Ride Joburg. And on his free will, he went on. He saw me and we're not best friends, but he knows me, and he decided to click and to donate. So I think a lot of it comes down to point number two here, which my ChatGPT friend gave me, which is to build trust before business. And I think just showing up and doing good work and being a good mensch in business and in the community is really invaluable. When the time comes to actually ask or approach people, they'll gladly give.
So maybe it matches more than just the one, because I see it as also matching point number five of the ripple effects, and that you're making a ripple effect.
Yeah.
And when you're doing things, often it makes it easier. When you're doing something hard, it makes it easier to do if you're doing it for more than just yourself. So if you're running Comrades and you're kind of three quarters through and you've had enough and you want to give up, knowing that people have put a huge donation and someone else or something else is benefiting from what you're doing, it almost like makes it easier because you're not just doing it for yourself.
That's exactly what happened. 72 kilometers into Comrades, I had to dig really deep. You know, you get to that point, you have a lot of dark, challenging moments in the race, questioning your life choices. But yeah, as you say, it makes it easier when you've got the people who've supported you and the organization and those beneficiaries who you know that you've got to get to that finish line no matter what. It's just non-negotiable. You mentioned earlier, I think, a point about starting the business and especially after where I made that money by doing that course for those actuarial students, I shifted my mindset to there's no plan B here. They say, I think when you start a business or move countries or whatever, you burn the ships. They say that analogy of you don't give yourself an easy way out, a safety net. And people said to me, oh, but Dan, you've always got your actuarial, you've got your plan B, your safety net. I said, no, in my mind, I was making this work no matter what. There was no option B. So it's just having that reframing. The mind is a powerful thing. Shapes our thoughts and our actions and our reality.
So for the next few years, what is your plan A? What is Dan's plan A for the next few years for your business and for yourself?
So look, for me, it comes back to the core ethos and message for us, which is to help people to work smarter and to be more productive and confident and successful. And we've got our Excel courses, which is still relevant, and we're still rolling that out to lots of people. And helping people to embrace and adopt AI in this new age and wave of AI. And I'm also working on something completely different, which I'll chat to you for a few seconds about. 2 months ago, visiting my sister and her family in Ranana in Israel, saw the fresh fruit frozen yogurt, and I had it every day. It's that delicious, like soft serve, you choose your fruit. And I thought to myself, I have to bring this to South Africa. We need it. I can't just have this when I go visit Israel. And I bounced it off my ChatGPT. I said, I'm thinking about launching this. Help me to formulate a business plan and to think through all the different angles and questions for me to explore this. And it's been amazing. And I'm looking to launch that in the coming months as well.
So you're bringing Israeli frozen yogurt to South Africa.
Yeah, that's the best.
That's fantastic. Yeah. And I said to you beforehand, before this, when you come on the show, time will just fly. And it's unbelievable. We've now come to the end of this. And I just want to thank Dan Stillerman, the Excel Academy founder and newfound success with the ChatGPT and hopefully with the frozen yogurts. This has been the Orchard Business Show. I'm David Zeidel. Good evening. And the Orchard Business Show is brought to you with the compliments of Avstage. Let them bring your corporate event to life and make it unforgettable.
Let Avstage make your vision a reality. As your trusted technical partner, we deliver top-tier lighting, cameras, sound, visuals, and all technical elements for high-level corporate events, conferences, gala awards, ceremonies, and year-end functions. Elevate your next event with our expert services. Contact Avstage at 011-887-1400 and let us bring your event to life and make it unforgettable.